Good morning, Rabbi Sai. Continuing our discussion from yesterday, we spoke yesterday about the fact or the halacha that's brought down that a person who meets another person in these times is brought down from Rosh Chodesh Elul, B'Shem the Maharil, and the other poskim bring it down, that one should wish one's friend, or even if he's not your friend, maybe especially if he's not your friend, you should wish him a ksiv v'chsim tova, you should wish him a shana tova. It's an inyan. We said v'chol ma'aminim shu'a oina lochash. There's a remnant to that, and there's v'yishalu ish l're'ehu l'sholoim. There are remozim in psukim. There's a remnant in davening that one should do that. Question is, when should it have started? I know we're going backwards at the moment, but he discusses here a very interesting discussion about when you're supposed to start saying k'siv v'chsim atovo, and he brings down here b'shem. Well, he says that it says as follows. What he writes there, he says the minig is actually to start saying k'siv v'chsim atovo from chamisha osa ba'av, and the gematria of chamisha osa ba'av is exactly the same as k'siv v'chsim atovo. Yeah. What does chamisha osa ba'av though have to do with Elul Memela? We know that Maharil says that from during Elul you say k'siv v'chsim atovo. But what does chamisha osa ba'av have to do with it? So here he brings down something that I don't really, I'm not quite sure. He says first he brings down that in many sforim it says that the hisnatzlus ha'oed, that the light of hayomin oroim starts from tesvov ba'av. Why? He says the Maharil himself writes down in the Eliyahu brings b'shem the Maharil, the hamisanim mem yoim ad yoim akipurim, that the people who want to fast 40 days ad yoim akipurim, that they maschilim mites va'av be'elech, that they start from the 15th of Av. But the 15th of Av, that's what he writes. Yeah, and he brings it down from the Bnei Yisoscha, b'shem ma'amore chodesh tamuz ma'amadalad etc. The test vov ba'av. Now, he says that Tesva Ba'av is 40 days before Chof Hei Elul. So, what have we got here? We've got the discussion about how does Chof Hei Ba'av, how does Tu Ba'av, Tesva Ba'av, relate to the Yomim Noiroim? How is it that one should start Ksiv V'chsim Atovo from there? One of them wants to say that it's 40 days up to Chof Hei Elul. From Tu B'Av until Chof Hei Elul would be 40 days. And Chof Hei Elul is the day when the first day of Bria Sa'olam. Rosh Hashanah was the sixth day, and that was the day of Bria Sa'odom. But Bria Sa'olam, Yoim Rishon, or Yoim Echod, of the Bria Sa'olam was on Chof Hei B'Elul. But the others who say that the previous one that he brought down, the Eli Rabbi, says that the people who fast Mem Yoim Ad Yom HaKippurim, that's 40 days after Yom Kippur, start from Tu B'Av Be'elech. Now, Tu B'Av Be'elech until Yom Kippur has got to be nearer 60 days. I haven't worked it out exactly. So exactly why one should start from Tu B'Av, if your Kavona is... Yeah, I understand somebody wants to fast 40 days ad Yom Kippurim, because that's the third time that Moshe Rabbeinu went up the mountain. He went up on Rosh Chodesh Elul, came down on Yom Kippur, Salachti Kidvorecho, and that's the end of the Kapora in the end. So those 40 days, if someone wants to fast, one would understand it. But exactly how it works, that you should start from Tu B'Av Be'elech to get to Yom Kippur, or how you should start from Tu B'Av Be'elech even to get to Rosh Hashanah, which is more than 40 days, I'm not quite sure how the cheshbonos work, but certainly those are the inyonim, and tomorrow we'll speak some other imozim on this inyon. So it's Torreway, Northwest London, Tuesday, Yutes Elul, the 1st of September, Harav Yeshua Hartman Shlita, on a topical theme. This week's Torreway has been sponsored, Leila Nishmas from Moshe Ben Reb Yosef, Mr. Moshe Joseph Zichrono Livracha, on his fourth yahrzeit. He was a regular every day here in Torreway, and we miss him. And his yahrzeit is today, Yutes Elul Tov Shin Pei Beis. And of course, today is also the yahrzeit of our friend and our founder, Rabbi Yosef Dov Ben Rav Shimon Michal Tzvi Iskovich, Zichrono Livracha. Again, yahrzeit today. Come round.
Let's go.
Get through.
No, that's the
okay. Yeah.
Sure.
This.
There you go.
That's it.
Okay, Shalom Aleichem, Abayisai. As mentioned, today is the yahrzeit of Dudi. It's which called him Dudi, loved by all. And he's the one that made this, what we have today, the Torah way. And I want to bring out that as a result of that, as the older I'm getting, I notice that the Torah is really a toolbox of how to circumvent death. Death may sound as a dead end. That's how it looks at the first glance. But when you look at it from the Torah prism, and especially those engaged in Habotzes Torah and teaching Torah, like Dudi was, there's a way to circumvent death. Meaning that death will be looked upon as something totally temporary, and in Yetzer Hashem it's going to be, as we'll see soon. So, Barisa, let's start. It says in this week's parsha, "La'avracha b'vris Hashem Elokecha uba'alasei." What does it mean, "La'avracha"? So says Rashi, "Derech havara, kach hayu kotei britot osim." When people would make a covenant between two parties, this was their custom. "Mikzeh echad mikan, mechitza echad mikan, mechitza mikan, v'avrim b'netayim." They would take, kumo shenemar, meaning they would take an animal, nebuch, poor animal, cut it to two, put one part of the animal on one side, and then part of the other animal on the other side, and then would go between the parts. Betarim means parts. Where does Rashi say this earlier? Come on, Chevre. Very good, that's Rashi said it. Absolutely. Over here, v'derech koyse abris lechalek behema v'lavol ben p'tera, to divide the animal and go between its parts. K'mo she'nemar, and Rashi quotes the same pasuk. Ha'ovim ben pisrei ha'agola. Good. Lamedad yutches in Yirmiyo, and lamedad yutes. Good. And what's the, how do you understand that? What does it mean? So I guess symbolic it represents that just like these two parts of the animal are two which are one, that were one, similarly these two parties are going to become one through the covenant that they're making. Fine. The Vilna Gaon has a different explanation. In one of his spooky svarim, meaning in Kabbalah, which I have no access to, but I heard it from my Rebbe, Ramesh Shapiro Zatzal, and he says something really amazing about this idiom of Koyres Pris. Let's try to get to understand what we're dealing with. The two words Koyres Pris, if you look at them in Hebrew, it looks like they're an oxymoron. Because what does Koyres usually mean?
Cut.
To cut, to separate. Not just to cut, to separate. How is a bill of divorce called in Hebrew? Sefer Kritut. The punishment that a person is like cut off from Olam Haba is Koyres. So koris means to separate. Bris means to put together. How come these two words always go together? Koris, bris. If literally, Charlie, you hear Charlie? If you're going to translate it into English literally, koris, bris will sound like the togetherness of separation.
I was wondering why the animal was cut in half.
Into two parts.
But with Avram, it was cut in various bits.
No, also two parts. No, it was two parts. It's two parts. We'll look it up together afterwards. Okay, shkoyach. Anyway, I'll call Pony over his side. So how come these two go together? Koyres Pris. Says the Gaon. What? Okay, good, Reb David. Who am I getting from here, Bimei Rishon? I'm going to be sick, but that's where I'm going. Right? Anyway, Reb David, my entire front. So Rabbi said, I'll tell you what the Gaon says. The Vilna Gaon on his commentary to Sifa Yitzira, Perek Aleph Mishlaches, says the Gaon, he says, Omar lecha ma'u inyan shabris. When there's two people that make a covenant, the two want to become one. The question that mankind is struggling with since the day of the creation, how do two become one? According to any mathematical equation, two is two and one is one. How do two become one? It's not a personal thing. It's a tall order of two people, husband and wife, friends, whatever, two becoming one. How does that happen? Says the Gaon, If each party takes something which is very, very precious to him, very, very valuable to him, and cuts it off himself, so to speak, figuratively, and gives it over to the other party. And the other party does the same thing. Takes something very precious and valuable to him, or her, whatever, and cuts it off and gives it to the other party. And when they do that, that's called koires bris, meaning mutual sacrifice. The only way that two could become one is by mutually sacrificing for each other. What's the understanding of it? A person's born, and when he's born, it's just himself. His four cubes, like the halacha says, arba amas. But once how does he expand? By giving himself over to other people. Again, in the first way, it seems, he's spreading himself thin. And now he has less for himself. But in a deeper way, he's expanding himself. His circle doesn't include only himself, but rather those that he's invested in. So when you invest in other people, in the kehillah, in the shul, you name it, you are expanding yourself, and now your circle is not just you or your immediate family, but others as well. Because wherever you're invested, that's an extension of yourself. So how do two become one? That each party invests something very precious to him, to the other party, so now to a certain degree, that other party is him. Because there's something very valuable of his invested in that other party. How come we love our children so much? Because we invested so much into them. And therefore they're an extension of ourselves. So says the Goyin, that's why it's koires bris, that's the only way that two people can become one. If mutually sacrifice, mutually taking something precious and investing it in the other party. And what happened, the dynamics is, so now the other party is a little bit of you, because it's something of you invested in him. And you could always connect to yourself. So the chokhmah is that we're really selfish people. That's how we are. We're selfish people. So how do you overcome the selfishness? Not by fighting it, but by enabling others to become part of yourself. So keep on being selfish. No problem. But this yourself will contain not only just you, but it will contain also, and like by people like the Chofetz Chaim, it was Kol Am Yisrael. Kol Am Yisrael is their selves. Now, Kol Am Yisrael, I'll give you an example. The Ponovitch Rav, when he was 22 years old, he was this big Ilui, and with a super personality, and he had to leave yeshiva, and he was looking for a new yeshiva, and he was going home for Pesach, and the train was going nearby Radin. He said, Radin, I heard there's a holy Jew there called the Chofetz Chaim. I'll pop in, get a bracha. It can't hurt. And it was a detour for a day or 2 days, but he did it. He knocked on the door of the Chofetz Chaim in the morning. The Rebbe said, answer, and said, you don't know me. I just want to come get a bracha. She said, fine. Right here in this chair, he'll be coming out of his room, and you could ask for a bracha shortly. And what does he hear? Behind the door, the Chofetz Chaim crying, b'dmoyes sholish. The words can't come out even straight. Crying, he's saying Tehillim. And the psukim are not coming out because he was crying. One of the signs of being a genius, we always say, is curiosity. You know that? Then I heard it again from Moshe Shapira. Curiosity is one of the signs of being a genius. And he had the curiosity, and he couldn't hold himself back. And he went to the kitchen, to the Rebbetzin, and he says, listen, it's really none of my business. You don't know me from Adam. But what's going on there behind the door? Why is he crying like that? So she said, he does it daily. Yeah, but what's today? He's saying to him, for whom? For a woman that's having a tough labor. So he's davening for her. Oh, really? Yeah. Your daughter? No. Your granddaughter? No. A family member? No. Who is she? Listen, she said there's 3,000 Jews that live here. She's one of them. That's how he cries for a stranger? Yeah. Okay, he's my Rebbe. And he stayed by the Chofetz Chaim for 2 years. If that's how you could cry for and I try to think about it. Many times I thought about that story. How could you cry so much about for a stranger? Really, how could you do it? How? I wonder even if the mother of that woman was crying or the husband of that woman was crying. But the Chofetz Chaim was. Because there's someone that was in pain, and the Chofetz Chaim connected to it. Who was the one in pain there? What would you say? Who? The Yoledes. And meaning, so the Chofetz Chaim was also selfish, but his selfish contained on Kol Klal Yisrael. Kol Klal Yisrael is me. Right? So this nekuda of when you invest in other people, when you care about other people, you're not spreading yourself thin, but rather you're making your circle more broad that it can include other people to enter your it. Yes.
Understood the concept of investing, yeah? Giving something of yours that's precious to someone else.
That's right.
What was the clue? Why does he have to cut it?
Because it's me. It's so important to me. It's me, but I got to cut it off and give it to the other party.
Cut it off from myself.
That's right.
Not actually cutting, not destroying the actual.
No. Cutting, disconnecting it from myself and giving it to the other party.
That's the curse.
Good, Kasha. I see, even though you lost a lot of weight, you're still, the brain works 100% okay. No correlation. Okay, Baruch Hashem. Now, so let's go on to this point. This Chofetz Chaim, this Vilna Gaon's Yisoy, explains, the Gemara says in Maseches Gittin, in the Samach Amud Beis, Lo koras HaKadosh Baruch Hu brisim Yisrael, ela bishvil dvarim shebal peh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a krisis bris on the oral law. Shenemar, ki al pi advarim ha'elu karati itcha bris v'es Yisrael. What does this Gemara mean? The bris, also Torah Shabbat itself is called bris, the words of the covenant. Vayikachet Sefer HaBris, it says in Chumash, it's referring to Torah Shemeksav. But the Kairos Bris, the Krisos Bris, is on Torah Shebal Peh specifically. What does that mean? According to what the Gaon explains, it's obvious. What's the main difference between the oral law and the written law, excluding the fact that this is written and this is oral? You tell me, guys. What's the main difference between the written law, the Torah Shemeksav, and the Torah Shebal Peh, excluding that this is written and this is not written? What's the main difference between the two?
Our effort.
Ah, exactly. Torah Shebal Peh is ours. We have the authority. The buck stops with us. Torah Shebiksav, it's a Kodesh Bohus. We can't change one letter in the Torah Shebiksav from a yud to make it a vav, a drop of ink. Puzzle. Torah Shebal Peh, it's ours. What's the Gemara that shows it? That we have the authority over Torah Shebal Peh? The famous Gemara of Lo Bashamayim Hi, it's not in heaven. Rather, the authority is given over to the Chachamim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu delegated authority, and we're the ones that sat on it. The Ksar Sechoshin Sakdama is all about this point. The Torah Shebal Peh, it's ours. Torah Shebiksav, we can look at it, we can read it. We have zero authority over it. Zero. It's manifested by the fact that the Torah Shebiksav was located in the Mishkan and Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's domain, and the Torah Shebal Peh, which is represented by the menorah, is in the Heichal, which is ours. Right? Yesterday I was on a plane, and someone told me, you're not allowed to learn on a plane. I said, why not? Lo b'shamayim hi. That's what he told me. Okay, lo b'shamayim hi. Fine. Lo b'shamayim hi, we have the authority. The authority was given to human beings. Rabbi, to bring this out, Rabbi Shapir Zatzal always would make a tzushtel, a cross-reference to our mentors that we all know. And there was a young king who got married to the daughter of another king, and the young king came over to the older king's domain, got married. After the wedding, or after the Sheva Brachas, he wants to go back with his newlywed wife. To his main. So the father tells the son-in-law, he said, probably in English he would say, gee, I really should have told you this before, but I didn't. Here it is. The daughter that you married, she's my only one. I don't have anyone else. Lifrosh mimena, to separate from her, I cannot. Lomar lachem al titlua, to tell you don't take her, I cannot tell you either. She's your wife. Elazut tova aseli, do for me the following favor. It's Shmoyis Rabba Lamed Gimel Aleph. B'chol makom shatem olchim, wherever you go, make for me a small room that I'll live next door to you. She'eini yachol laniach et biti. I don't know if young people today would appreciate that solution, but I guess if the Shver is a Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's okay. Kach amar Kodesh Baruch Hu Yisrael, I give you over the Torah to separate from her, I cannot. To tell you not to take her, I cannot. It's yours. Wherever you go, I'll dwell amongst you. Basuni Mikdash v'shachanti b'soicham. That's what the Medrash says. Now this daughter, there's three people in the parable. The older king, the daughter, and the young king. Now, the parable is mashal. How do you say nimshal in English? I'm asking that already for the last 45 years. No one gave me an answer. How do you say nimshal in English?
Example.
The moral, there's no word. Because the Goyim stay only with the mashal. They never translate into the nimshal. Okay, whatever the reason will be. But I'll copy, that's the mashal. And what's the nimshal? The older king represents the daughter represents Tyra, and the young king represents Klal Yisrael. Now, could it be that if you just look at the parable, the relationship we may interpret it as follows. The older king tells the young king, listen, my style is I'm very, very dugri. How do you say dugri in English?
Straightforward.
And please don't take it personal, but let me tell you, I really do not like you. But for reasons beyond my understanding, my daughter does like you. So wherever you go, I want to come, not because of you, but because of my daughter. Could that be the relationship between these three people? I don't really like you, but my daughter likes you. So, okay. Obviously, it's impossible. Because in the Nimshel, it won't work. We'll be in the Nimshel. Hashem tells Am Yisrael, I don't like you, but the Torah likes you. Impossible. Okay, maybe let's make it a more moderate case. The older king tells the younger king, you look like a great guy. I'm sure we're going to have a great relationship as time will unfold. But I didn't really get a chance to know you yet. But I'm sure it's going to be great. But meanwhile, I want to follow my daughter. Because could that be the relationship?
Also not.
Why not? Again, by the nimshel it won't work. I don't know you, but my daughter knows you. My daughter. What is then the relationship between these three?
I love you both.
I say more. A few more kilo, you'll save even more. I love you so much, I'll give you my daughter. And like that, we're going to anchor our relationship, or ours to be together. Because if it's just the two of us, you know, sometimes people fall out with each other, even though they were best friends. What's going to guarantee our relationship? I'm going to give you something that no matter what you do, come what may, I'll never forsake you. You know why? You have my daughter. And the daughter's really me. I could get upset. I could punish you. But I'll never forsake you. Because I gave you something that I cannot disattach from. I gave you my daughter. Now this daughter represents Torah Shebiksav or Torah Shebal Peh? What would you say? But think. What would you say? The Torah represents the daughter in the Mashal. And the Nimshal is... Which Torah is it representing? Both? You know, let's have the four options. Both, neither, Torah Shebiksav, or Torah Shebal Peh. What would you say is the right answer? What? Torah Shebal Peh. What makes you say it's Torah Shebal Peh?
I can't remember.
Okay, there's a svar here, but you're saying good. You're saying good. But tell me a svar. This, who does she represent? She represents Torah, obviously. But Torah Shebiksav or Torah Shebal Peh? Let's hear a Torah way svara.
It's for Shebiksav.
What?
It's Shebiksav, because it's what he gave her that was already there. So, what was his?
So what does she represent?
Well, she represents Torah Shebiksav.
Exactly. Michael's saying Gevaldik. We're speaking about a daughter that went over to her husband's domain.
Yeah.
That's Torah Shebal Peh. We don't have a domain of Torah Shebiksav. The Torah Shebiksav never left Hashem. It's always with Hashem.
No, the Rebbe Hashem gave you to
us. No. We have zero authority. We can look into it. He didn't give it. Torah Shebal Peh, he delegated authority. You know, guys, we're men here, so I can say it. A wife is Bershus Baila. We agree? I can't hear.
Yes.
A wife is Bershus Baila. We're speaking about a Torah that transferred was before her in the Rishus of her husband, and now she's in the Rishus of her. She was before in the Rishus of her father, and now she's in the Rishus of her husband. Right, Dr. Harris?
Yes.
Which Torah transferred was before in one Rishus and now it's under a different Rishus?
Only Torah.
Only Torah Shebal Peh. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu delegated authority. Right? So in Mele, we're speaking about the transformation of Torah Shebal Peh, of a Isha that before was Rishus Avia, and now she's Rishus Baila. That is not applicable to Torah Shebiksav. Torah Shebiksav, it's not an Ar Rishus. We cannot change one iota there. One error is a Sefer Torah Apostle. That's what we pass in Halacha. We have zero authority over it. So it's referring to Torah Shebal Peh. So what do we see here? We see here the secret of the eternity of the Jewish people. You know how come we're going to live forever? Because there's something about us which is more than us. What is it? There's something about Kadosh Baruch Hu amongst us. First, let me give you a dugma, a medrash that when I first saw it, I literally jumped out of my seat. A medrash Esther Rabba, Zion Beis.
So you see it.
The what?
Exactly that. That's why the
version
put his name on it.
Exactly. You know what the Medrash says there? In Esther Rabbah, Zion Beis. Look it up. Don't trust me. Look it up. Esther Rabbah, Zion Beis. If it wouldn't have been a Farish Medrash, you probably would not be allowed to say it. The Medrash gives a parable with a bird that had a nest on the sea, on the shore, on the chof. How do you say chof in English?
Shore.
On the shore. And the waves wiped it away, and the bird got very upset. So the bird with its little beak. The bird with its little beak tried to change the water into soil, and soil into water. In a million years, they can't do it. It's too big. Says the Nimshel, that's the Mashal. Here comes the Nimshel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Haman HaRasha, may I add, Hitler, Yimach Shmoy, to Hezbollah, and to all Sarni Yisrael. You want to wipe out the Jewish people? That's what you wish to do? I could not do it. So you could do it? That's what the Magen says. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ani kibyochel le'echati lasot ken. It quotes a pasuk in Tehillim. Vayomer la'ashmidam lulei Moshe b'chiro amad b'paretz. It's a pasuk in Tehillim. The Eibishter is saying, you guys want to wipe out the Jewish people. I got no money. I can do it. So you can do it? No, but see, here I'm Medrash. Rabbi Joseph, that's what the Medrash says. I promise you. Look it up afterwards. Esther Rabbah, Zion Beis. What does it mean that Kadosh Baruch Hu can do it? Can't the Kadosh Baruch Hu do whatever he wants? What would you say? What's one thing that Kadosh Baruch Hu cannot do? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kol Yochel, no?
Yeah.
Could HaKadosh Baruch Hu get rid of himself? No. Obviously not. That's what this Medrash is saying. The Jewish people are an extension of myself. I cannot get rid of them because it's getting rid of myself. So you could get rid of them? You're going to end up being demolished. You're going to end up being destroyed. And they're going to keep on forever. That's what the Medrash says. Unbelievable. I couldn't do it. Right? This Medrash really gives like encouragement and hope of the future of Am Yisrael. Now, what comes out is, anybody who's engaged in learning Torah and teaching Torah, what is he? He's engaged with the daughter of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Here literally engaged could mean kibshutai, v'yirastich li lo'ilam. Right? Torah, what's it say over there? Morasha Kilat Yaakov, Atik Morasha and Murasa. The Torah is engaged. Meaning, so when you're teaching something that's the daughter of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're touching upon something which is eternal. As individuals, we die and we'll come back, Bezrat Hashem. But the idea is that by us, death is always something temporary. And we're going to overcome it. Because there's something in us that cannot die. That something is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chelik in us. Like every person has a neshama, which is chelik elokam imal. Much more so when you're learning the Torah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you learn another Rashi, another Gemara, another Chumash, with the Rashi, and another Rabbi Akiva Eger, every time you learn something more, you're getting more involved with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's daughter, which means HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. So Dudi Zatzal, look what he did, how much Torah came to the world because of him. Tons and tons of hours and hours of Torah here in London and elsewhere, and his determination and the way he made sure that it will work day in, day out. That's how come we know what Rashi says in a few times in Chumash, that somehow with Torah, you don't die. Anybody want to quote me some Rashis that say that?
Torah Magno Matzah.
Yeah, but Rashi in Chumash, then you're not dying. Magno Matzah is nice. Rashi says on the Pasuk, Leman Hakim in Parshas Vayera, Kol HaManiach Ben Yagea B'Torah, Kilo Lo Yimes. If you leave behind a son that's toiling in Torah, you never died. Because it's a tribute to you, and Yogea B'Torah. Kol HaManiach Ben Tzadik Yogea B'Torah, Kilo Lo Yimes. When you quote the words of someone who died, it says in the Gemara, Sif Sosov Doiva Vois Bekever. So to speak, his lips are moving in his grave. See, Torah is something which is called Chaim. I'm sorry?
If you're saying
Yodot, he's Torah. If you're saying it's Torah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Anything that has to do with Torah is called Chaim. And it starts on a national level, that Am Yisrael is married to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's daughter, and therefore we're going to live forever, despite all other plans of our enemies. They will never be successful. That's on a national level, but also on an individual level. If you engage your life, and your life is together with learning Torah, and toiling on Torah, boy side, toiling, you know, that when you learn Torah, you should have a deodorant ready. A deodorant should be there. I'm serious, to toil, to understand, to get into it. That's why, ki hem chayenu, v'och yameinu, Torah and Chaim are always intertwined with each other, because it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chokmah, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's daughter, the way the Midrash calls it. And with the more you do get engaged in Torah, you're engaged with something which is nitzchi. So therefore, the fact that this Olam comes on a daily basis to learn Torah and to listen to Torah is engaging in something which is nitzchi, and that's its founder. All our learning should be Lilui Nishmasai, and Em Yetz Hashem soon we'll have Tchias Amesim, and we'll have all of them back. Be'ezrat Hashem. Okay.
Rabbi
Chanan,
you made a